Each and every one this morning. And it is good to be gathered in the name of the Lord. You may be seated for a moment, praise God. And it's a sad time for the family and all this morning. The passing of our brother Sammy, it wasn't expected. And even the nurses were shocked in the hospital because Sammy had made such a recovery. And nobody expected it. And those of us that have been down to see him couldn't believe a change on him. They're talking about moving him to Daisy Hill. They're talking about when he would get home. Now, it's not confirmed yet because they're not sure yet, but they think he maybe had a slight heart attack. And then during the night, that caused fluid to go into his lungs, and then he couldn't breathe right. But when we went yesterday, the family was called yesterday early in the morning to go down, and when we went down, Sammy was in pain, and when they asked him was it in your legs or arms, he said no, and he was shouting out. He was really distressed, and it wasn't nice to see, to be honest. And we prayed with him several different times, read with him, and tried to comfort him the best we could, and the nurses did and the doctors did all they could. And you know, they were putting morphine in him to kill the pain. And when you're taking morphine, you're a bit delirious, you know. And but he passed away. Me and my wife had to come home about 1:30 or so. We had to come back up home, and we weren't long home. And Sammy passed about 3:00. But we just want to say this morning, In the words of a prophet of God, there's no death for a Christian. No death for the real believer in Christ. It's only a pathway through to the great reward that's waiting. Absent from the body and present with the Lord. And you know, we prayed and believed for God to raise our brother up. I can't tell you why it hasn't happened. I can't explain it. I know that one time Brother Branham prayed for a young woman and God raised her up. And shortly after that she died. And he went away and he prayed and he sought God. And he wanted to know why she had died. And God showed him that she should have died earlier at a riverside when she almost drowned it. But God had already spared her and God gave her space to repent and get right with God. Then he took her home. And you know, some things we can't explain, but I want to say to you this morning, it would be far worse if somebody wasn't saved. Mine would be worse. But really we should be rejoicing. Like old Billy Kelly said about a great old father in the faith to him, God promoted her brother home to glory. Praise God. And it's a promotion whether we think it or not. Wigglesworth, when his wife died, brought her back 3 times. Now we know Wigglesworth was a tremendous man of faith. And she told him, I'm not coming back. Don't bring me back again. What I've seen and where I'm going, superior to here. And I won't come back and don't want to come back. William Branham's wife, when he called her back as well, she came back. And she said, Brother Bill, what you preached, it's even more glorious. More glorious than what you preached. And he said, he often wondered, when we die, would we be a spirit floating about somewhere? And he wondered about that all his life. But he said, God took him beyond the curtain of time. Like Paul the Apostle was caught up to the third heaven. Says, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of it, was caught up such an one to the third heaven and saw things. And we're privileged today in our generation that we know of a man of God that went beyond and saw them robed in white and was fit to come and tell it. And you have a body there and you'll know one another there. It's not a body like your body here. But it is a body. And I'll tell you, Brother Sammy's in the glory. Praise God. It's going to be missed. I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss all the phone calls. I used to joke about it, but it's true. Over this last few weeks, it's been strange. But a brother hasn't been ringing. And he would have went with me everywhere I went. If I was going to preach in Dublin, he went. Me and him had planned, you know, to go round the different places in Scotland. It all planned out. I was wanting to go myself. Times of Lewis. All the places where God moved. Praise God. I can remember well as a young man. Early 20s, went up to Aberdeen to preach. And boy, we had powerful meetings. Powerful meetings. Up in Aberdeen. Never forget it. Remember going up with Brother Ewell and he had his wee polo car. We drove over and got the ferry over. And Ron sent us up to Aberdeen to do the meeting. And on the way up, we had been given a tape. And that tape was Bob preaching on the Eagles. What a message. We went up to Aberdeen and we had wonderful meetings in Aberdeen. And God touched people's lives and Sammy was in them meetings. Praise God. And I tell you, all my memories are good and I'm going to keep them good. Praise God. There's going to be no negativity today. I tell you, there's only one place we can turn at this time, and that's to God's Word. Praise God. And don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, we're going to have an early seeing the new year in. There's no point sitting up to 12 or 1. We'll come at 6 o'clock. And we'll see it in at 6. Would that be alright? So at 6 o'clock we're going to come. I'm not going to preach. But I want you to sing tonight. Give a testimony. Dance around the hall if you want. But I want you to come and thank the Lord for this year. For this has been a great year. Praise God. You say, brother, how was it a great year? It's a great year, for we're still here. It's a great year that God's given us another opportunity to see more saved. But he hasn't come yet and their loved ones lost. It's a great year. But the Lord's coming again. Let us turn to the book of James this morning, chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. And there will be no Wednesday service, but we'll meet again next Sunday as normal. And when I find out arrangements, I'll let everyone know. And please keep a sister Carol in prayer. It's going to be difficult. And the children as well. Praise God. Let's stand while we read the Word of God. Chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 of James' Gospel. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and of long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We could turn to chapter 1 of James. And let's read verse 18. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you this morning that this is the privilege which is ours as the people of God, that we can come boldly from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, we're not as those that have no hope this morning, but we have a hope anchored deep within the veil in Christ our Lord. Father, we thank you this morning for thy salvation, so rich and so free. Lord, I pray that you'll bless Carl and the whole family this morning. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I pray you'll comfort each one, strengthen each one. Stir our hearts and strengthen us, everyone, from the word of God we pray. Father, grant thy grace at this time to the whole McDonald family. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit by faith, and I thank you, you undertake for me. Lord, you said a smoke and flax you will not quench. I pray, God, you'll blow upon it, that it may become fire. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want for a moment or two this morning just to talk about the resurrection. And we know this morning that Christ is the first fruits. And we are the kind of first fruits when we're born again. But we're only a kind of first fruits when we're born again. Because when we're born again, we are born again of an incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham, or the royal seed of Abraham by faith. We are that seed. And him that's born of God, the Bible says, can never die. Death shall have no more dominion over you. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Man has a soul, and the soul of man is very precious. And Christ died to save your soul on the cross 2,000 years ago. And I thank God for the power of the cross and for the power of the resurrection. Praise God. For the work Jesus done on the cross and for the work the Father done when he raised his Son from the dead to be the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. And we are a kind of first fruits because we're born of that incorruptible seed. You know, I took Sammy down that book. Prophet visits South Africa. And there it was in the hospital. And yesterday, I hadn't went prepared to the hospital. We were actually out. Me and Sharon was out. And then we got the call. And we decided we'll go anyhow. And I had no Bible with me or anything with me. But I had my phone. So I got the Bible on the phone. And read the psalm from the Word of God on the phone. And we read several scriptures from the Psalms. And you know, I just took a feeling I would lift that book and read from it. And I just opened it. Everywhere it opened. And I began to read. And it read how God tremendously moved in Durban, South Africa. And the mighty visitation that God sent. And it said the theme of all the meetings was firstly and foremostly the salvation of souls. Healing was secondly to salvation. And boy, I like that. Salvation is first and salvation is foremost. God can heal you. And in a month's time you could be sick again and die. But once you're saved, you're always saved. I was very shocked recently when I heard of a great televangelist. I'll not name his name, for a lot of people think he's great. It was actually his son. His son's older than me, so that's one of her age. But he'd been asked a question about salvation, and asked a question about a man that backslid. And he said, well, he's lost. And the question was put to him about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And he said, of course, the five wise is lost. It means they're lost. They were saved at a time, then they were lost. That's how he answered it. Well, he might have called himself Pentecostal. But as far as I know, he's a Methodist now. For that's what they believe. They believe you can be saved and lost. That's their doctrine. For I fell out with one of their top men years ago over it. He told me a man that backslides shall be lost and go to hell. I said, I don't agree with you. I said, then it's down to works. I says, my Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not for a week or a month. Or till he makes a wee slip up. But for all time and for all eternity, I believe we're saved. Yes, you could lose the reward. Yes, you could just get in with a skin of your teeth. Yes, you might not go in the rapture. I believe all that. But you're not lost. I tell you, there's a scripture that said, who are these that come out of great tribulation? They didn't even go in the rapture or nothing. But they still were saved. And the Bible says they were robed in white. And they overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your testimony is not how good you're living. If that's what you think it is, you're wrong. Your testimony is this. That you believe that Jesus Christ died for you. And that God raised him again from the dead on the third day. Triumphant over death, over hell, and over the grave. That's your testimony. That's what saved you. And that alone. Nothing else. Nothing more. But that is sufficient in his own. I thank God when God saved me, he never lost me 6 weeks later. But he saved me for all time and all eternity. The Bible says that David prayed to God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And never said, Lord, I need to get saved again. He lost the joy, but he never lost salvation.
Amen.
Well, there's people preaching today, you can be saved and then you're lost. You know what I'm going to tell you? If you're selling a product like that, I wouldn't buy it. No use to me. No guarantee was such as that. I want to tell you that Christ saved your salvation with his blood on the cross. He defeated the devil. He conquered death. He conquered hell. And he conquered the grave. If it's down to how we live, will there be a scale rolled out? And will we be measured for our works and for the scale who lived the best? No. Because all my righteousness was as filthy rags. But I am saved today because of Romans 4. It said that God never imputed to me my sins, but he imputed to me his righteousness through his Son Jesus Christ. The word imputation means free imparted. And God freely imparted to me his righteousness. And I tell your brother Sammy's saved. And he's in the glory. And I thank God for it. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians. And I might read most of this. I'm not going to try and finish a certain part or start a certain part or nothing like that. I'm just going to go as I feel led of the Lord today. I want to read you 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Christ is risen from the dead. Now I want you to hold for one moment till I get this nailed. I'm nailed good. This is why Christianity is superior and supreme to all other religions. No other religion can compare to true Christianity. Because Christ is risen from the grave. Buddha never rose. Muhammad never rose. None of the popes have ever rose yet. And they won't rise. But Jesus Christ rose from the dead. When he was here on the earth, he said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it up again. No other man can make a statement like that. No other man. You can't lay your life down of your own self. You see, on the cross, the Bible says he yielded up the spirit. That means he dismissed his own spirit. He stepped out of his body into the underworld. And he plundered hell that he might populate heaven.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I tell you, there's a place called Abraham's bosom. And all the Old Testament saints were held there in that place. And they could go no further. They could not go to heaven. Because the blood of Christ wasn't shed. They were held there in that place. But when Jesus rose from the grave, they rose with him. And the Bible says they saw them in the streets and they saw them in the cities. They saw them when they rose. Because Christ rose, they rose. And I tell you, there's going to be another resurrection. There's going to be a meeting in the earth. Our bodies are going to be changed. Whether we go to the grave or whether the Lord comes and take us, we're still the Lord's. That's why Christianity has a punch with it, superior to all other religions. You know the unique thing about Christ over every other man born of a woman? Death had no claim on him. No claim. Death had no claim on Jesus. Death had a legal claim on you and me. Death has a legal claim on every man. But death had no claim on Christ. Because he had no sin. He not only had he no sin, he knew no sin. He not only had no sin, he knew no sin. He's a spotless, blameless Lamb of God.
Amen.
He stepped into death. He willingly died. And he took on himself your sin and my sin. He become a curse. The Bible says, cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree. Christ become a curse. That's because the curse that was in me and you was laid on him. All our sins, all our iniquities was laid upon the Savior at the cross. And he took it so that we could be free. And he conquered death. And he conquered hell. And he conquered the grave. And he's the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. Praise God for it. Let me read you verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then come the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And it's be destroyed. Praise God. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. I want you to go over to verse 36. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. Now I want you to know, when you're born again, there's a seed there. And that seed is an incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. So there is a seed in you when you're born again. And that seed is going to produce a body beyond this flesh body here we have. I want you to know that. The Bible says that. Now you know your natural seed, you produce this body. And Paul goes on here to talk about the fish and the animals and what seed they come from. That's the body they have. But we're going to have a body like unto his own glorious body. That's the Lord. And the Lord has shown us the way. For he himself conquered death, conquered hell. He rose from the grave. And I tell you, Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Coming again for a people.
That's true.
And the people that the Lord's coming for is a people that's going to have to be ready. And when the Lord comes for us, the dead in Christ, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, shall rise first.
Amen.
They're going to rise. God's going to give them a glorious body. So our brother Sammy has a body now in heaven.
Amen.
But that body will come and pick up the earthly body. And God will change the earthly body. And the earthly body is going to be raised from the grave. You know that. For the Bible tells you that. And that body was concrete on it. Or wherever it is. But it'll come out of the ground. And God will change it. And quicken it. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment.
Amen.
And we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the earth. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I tell you, it's going to happen. There's going to be a resurrection. And not only is there going to be a resurrection, there's going to be a meeting in the earth. Praise God. I'll tell you one thing. You could never imagine how perfect you'll be then. You could never imagine how wonderful it'll be. And that's why all the great preachers said, and Brother Branham said, you'll be a young man at your peak of life, at the best peak of life, 21 years of age perhaps, whatever your peak would be, you'll be as young people again. But here's the thing about it, you'll never age, you'll never die. Corruption is defeated, death's defeated, it's conquered. Oh,
fool be called a Calvary. Amen. That's why Paul said, O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy shame? If Solomon of Calvary, praise God. For Jesus is the first fruits. In other words, Jesus has done it and showed us that it can be done. Praise God for it. Let me read you all these few verses here. Verse 38. But God giveth it a body that pleased him, and every seed his own body. And all flesh is not the same flesh, for there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies celestial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the celestial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differed from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, and it is raised in incorruption. And we come into this world born sinners. But we're going to go into this world victorious saints. Get that? Oh, don't you think that down the road, when they pray to the so-called saints, that that's the saints? No! Saints are living.
Amen.
Paul says, I write to the saints of Ephesus. I write to the saints of Corinth. That's saints. When you're born again, you're a saint. You're a saint because the blood of Jesus has bought you, redeemed you, washed you and cleaned you. You're a saint of God. Thank God for the saints. So if you're praying to some saint, you need to stop it. Because you're to pray to nobody, only Jesus Christ. And you cannot pray for the dead either. You can only pray to the living. And there's only one that's living, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now those that saved and went on are in a realm, they're not actually far from us, but we're never to contact them. It's wrong. You know those that pray to the dead, that's called the spirit of necromancy. That's why people, you need, brethren, listen to me carefully this morning. People do not realize the priestcraft they perform. When people pray to Buddha or Muhammad, they are praying to the dead. They're performing witchcraft. When the priest prays to the dead, he's doing the same. He's performing priestcraft. God is against it. We can only pray to the living Savior, the living sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, who raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on High, on ever living, to make intercession for the saints. And he's here this morning. But he says, for two or three are gathered in his name, he's in the midst, and that to bless us. Let me read you on. I love this portion. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Verse 43. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in the natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So God's own words tell you of two bodies. The natural body which can't enter heaven. Flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of God. But there's a spiritual body that can. And you know when God, I can't explain it and nobody can, no matter how smart you are. But God, the body that's went on, the soul of man that's saved that's went on, that will meet with this body that's in the grave. Something will happen to the body in the grave, and God's going to change the body in the grave, and the body that's in the grave will come out of the grave. I tell you, that's why I don't believe in, these where you burn people. I don't believe in that. You don't let me change your thoughts on it. I know Christians have done it, but I don't agree with it. But I'll tell you one thing. The Bible says they'll be raised from out of the sea and from all over the ground, everywhere, doesn't it say? God will get you. And even if somebody's been burned, cremated, and their ashes threw out, God will still raise that body if that person was saved. Do you know that?
Yes, I will.
You say, how will God do it? Very, very simple. How did he make on it?
Yes,
he gathered up a piece of clay and he made himself a man. And what did God's prophet say? God's prophet says, Melchizedek, he says, God gathered up a bunch of clay, made a body, and come into it, and come down to Abraham. That's Melchizedek. That's what he said. God can do that because he's God. I can't explain it. I'm not smart enough to explain it. I'm not even going to try to explain it. But I know God's going to do it.
Yes,
and no matter where the body is, where it's committed, or whether it wasn't committed, it'll not matter to God. You know that, really? God will still take it. And he's going to raise up a body. But the body won't be raised up like you're here now. And I don't mean that you won't know you're not. Like that. I mean it will be no more corruption. It'll be incorruption. It'll be immortality. Oh, we can't even begin to imagine what it's going to be like. Let us read on here. Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last man Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, excuse me, that which was first is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So the first man come out of the earth. But the second man didn't. He come out of the glory. So the first man come out of the earth. And you have that part. And I have that part. That's a natural body. That's the seed you're following. But then there's another man, he never come out of the earth, he come out of the heavens. Mm-hmm. The Lord from glory.
Amen.
And when you're born again of head seed, mm-hmm. an incorruptible seed, you're going to be have a body change to match that. Because he's the first fruits of the resurrection. I tell you, it's wonderful, God's going to change us. Mm-hmm. You say, oh, Salas, it's in here this morning, bald heads. No, you don't see that in the resurrection. No. That'll be great. I'll get my hair back.
Yeah.
Praise God. Young fella again, you.
Amen.
Remember all them years ago when we had no bellies and we had hair. And you thought you never got tired. You could stay up half the night. You know, isn't it true with a young fella? Talking to a fellow the other day and he said, boy, you still imagine you can do things when you get older till you try. And he said, you find out you just can't do it. That's because of the sowing of the natural body. It's playing out its part, it's playing out its role. But don't worry about it. There's someone else working within you. Because the Bible says he's changing you from glory to glory like on his own glorious body. Something's happening. Something's taking place. And there's going to be a resurrection. Jesus is coming again. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. We all talk about it. But do we really realize it? The Lord's coming again. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord's going to change us.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in the book of Acts, when they stood there gazing up.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? And we know Jesus was taken up in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus as you've seen go shall so come in like manner. When we're up in the cloud, he's coming back in the cloud. And we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. You don't have to say how long here till it changes your clothes. The Lord will just take you. Till they're gone. Don't need to worry about changing clothes or none of that. Or what way I'll dress. And you see these Smurvish clothes lying and cars, all nonsense. The Lord will take you. Where did the clothes come from? Out of this earth. Isn't that right? Where did Adam come from? From the soil. I don't know how God will do it, but he's going to do it. And he'll just take you as you are. And he'll change you. Like unto his own glorious body. Praise God. Verse 47 says, the first is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As in the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as in the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. I tell you, it's not something. You know that you're like Adam. And the fact Adam, a man never lived 1,000 years. He fell short of it. 900 and something years. He never made 1,000 years. But there's coming a day when we will live and reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. It's coming a day. It's called the millennial reign. And Brother Brian preached about it the last time he was here. About the millennial reign. It's going to be wonderful. Now there's going to be the resurrection. There's going to be what the church calls a rapture. And the brethren were the first people to preach the rapture. I want you to know that. So when people say, well, we have the revelation of the rapture, they need to go and talk to that brethren man. He preached it a brief while ago, didn't he? Long, long time ago. And it was a priest that formed the word rapture. A priest, a Jesuit priest. Oh yes, I've read all of the history about it. It just means change, caught up. But the Bible says catching away. Doesn't say the word rapture. But we Christians use the word rapture, meaning the catching away or caught up. Now well, there's a lot of doctrines that went with that word. And where they come from, I don't know. Because they're not in the Bible. And they've made so much of the word rapture. When the word rapture means to be caught up or caught away. But the Bible calls it the catching away, caught up. And the bold brethren preached about the rapture and they still preach about it. And what they're preaching is right. They're not preaching wrong. Don't think they're wrong. They're not wrong. They're right. And the Baptists were preached about the rapture as well. And even Pentecostals used to preach about the rapture. Now some of the ideas they had we mightn't agree with. But the actual fact that Christ is coming and he's going to rapture people is true. That's true. It's the Bible. It's 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And I'll tell you the Lord's coming again. For his people. Praise God. Verse 50 says, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. So the way we're here in this body, we won't go into heaven like in this body. We'll be changed first. God will change us. And he changes in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. And we're going to go home to be with the Lord. That's the bride. That is the bride. It's the bride that goes home to be with the Lord. And about 3.5 years of a honeymoon. Then we come back with them, king and queen. And we stand on the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives will split in two. That'll be the port up in Jerusalem where the ships come in, by the way. And we're going to live and reign in this earth with Christ for 1,000 years. I tell you, someone, this here is only the starting here. This is not. This is only the training ground. This is what the old preachers used to say, Spurgeon, and all these wonderful men of God used to say, this is a training ground here now. This is nothing to what's to come. So don't be worrying today. Don't be distressed today. You're on the victory. Christ has done it for you. He just wants you to believe it and walk in it for faith. Praise God. The time's going, but Almost. So just give me an ornament or two. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There's your Bible. You know, I want to say this. When we went yesterday evening again down to see a brother Sammy, and we read and sang and prayed in the room with the brethren that went, Sammy wasn't there. Sammy was away. There was a body there, but Sammy wasn't there. Sammy was gone on. And I tell you, we put so much importance in this life about this body. And it's good to look after it. I believe you should keep your body good. I believe that. But the kingdom of God is the most important thing. What are we doing for the Lord? That's the most important thing. I want you to think of this as Lord, and this is great for us to see it. But what about our loved ones that's not saved? What about our loved ones that's not saved? If the Lord were to come, they wouldn't go. We need to be a people of prayer. And we need to be a people with a testimony. That live a life worthy of the gospel. That others can see Christ in us. The hope of glory. Look at verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump of God, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now that's some word, isn't it? Immortality. That's something that never decays. That's something that never grows old. So the corruptible's done away. The mortal's done away. The earthly part, if you like. But there's a part here that's incorruptible. There's a part here that's immortal. That's the seed. That's the bit that Christ paid for. Praise God. And I can't explain it all day. I can't do it. I don't know how I would. I don't know how you would. But all I can tell you is what the Word of God says. And I believe it. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What was the cross all for? For this. For this. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Ultimately death is sad. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I told you last Sunday morning, God spoke to me on the Friday night. I've thought about it ever since. And he said, we need a revival of the preaching of the name of Jesus Christ. That's what he said. And everything here points to him. We're here because of the Lord. It's the Lord that saves us. It's the Lord that's coming for us. It's the Lord who's going to live and reign with Christ. It's all the Lord. 1,000 years. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And his name is Jesus Christ. No other man. I thought it was very wonderful when a brother Brian gave his testimony about the experience he had driving down the road. How many remembers that? He says he doesn't even know how the car got there. But he seemed to be out of himself. And he says there's a great entrance into that place. A great entrance. And do you know how it was ministered in? By the gospel. He says no man glory there.
Amen.
No prophet, no great man, but only Jesus. center of attention. And him alone. I tell you, he must be the center of our church, of our homes, and of our lives. Christ must be the center. It's Jesus we want to be like. It's Jesus that's coming for us. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. In the sage in the desert, believe it not. In the sage in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning shineth out of the east unto the west, even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And remember, he came in three sons' names. Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. Three sons' names. But that's Christ we're talking about here. Not another man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one that will sit on the throne of David. Oh, isn't it wonderful? You see, Moses made a tabernacle in the wilderness. Solomon made a temple. Then God said, the Most High dwells not in temples made with man's hands. But God made himself a body. And he came to that body. He never dwelt in temples made with man's hands. But God made a body born of the Virgin Mary. And God, Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 9 verse 6. Counselor, mighty God. He came to that body. He made a body and he came to that body. And he dwells in that body. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in the 20th century, God sends a prophet in the spirit of Elijah. What does he preach? Two outstanding messages. One is that God never changes his mind about his word. He never has to. It's right the first time. Another one is God's chosen place of worship. When he puts his name. And God put his name in his own son. Jesus Christ. He came in his father's name. The Bible says one will come in another name. Him they'll follow. But he came in his father's name. The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's God's chosen place of worship. I want you, I'm closing. I want you to take heart today. That our brothers went to be with the Lord. And many other scriptures, but I'm not going to read them. I'm just going to read this one little quotation and then we're going to close. The title of this message is Redemption by Judgment. I think the same thing is the body. We are given first body, which is an actual mortal, a body made of sin, and the next body is a glorious body, some type of a body the Christian goes into, the believer. When he dies, it is not exactly flesh. I wouldn't say it was tangible, but yet it's real. And then that body turns back to take up the tabernacle of clay at the end, at the resurrection. Then we're in his likeness forever. Oh, that's just wonderful. You say, Brother Branham, see, if it's spirit, you couldn't see it, but it's not a spirit. Look, when the witch of Endor called up the spirit of Samuel, or Saul recognized him, he was standing there with his prophet's robe on. And the witch got scared and fell to the ground and said, I see God raising up. And not only did he have on his prophet's robe, he was still a prophet. He said, why did you call me, saying that you become an enemy of God? And he said, tomorrow you'll be with me, said you'll fall. And how he would fall in battle, his son would fall, and just exactly, and they stood and recognized him. Brother Branham, I wouldn't be too sure of that. All right. How about when Jesus was on the Mount Transfiguration? And there are both Moses and Elijah and Peter and James and John standing looking at them. That's right, yes. We're going to be the something when we get out there. That's right. We're going to be somebody and something. And oh, what type of people ought we to be today that know God through His grace that has a new body for His people? God has a body for you. I tell you, it's wonderful. Jesus Himself was changed. Oh yes. The Bible says on the Mount of Transfiguration, they couldn't look at Him. His garment shone like the noonday sun. Transfigured, it says. That's the words before them. Then when He rose from the dead, He said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my God and your God." Amen. Then the next thing you know, they're in the room and He walks in through the wall.
Yes.
But He's in the body.
Yes.
And He still looks like the Lord. But He's in the body. So much Sabbath. And He ate too, by the way.
Yes.
I can't explain it. It's supernatural. You see, the world makes films about the supernatural and the extravagant, and they try to do that to catch the imagination, but there is actually something behind it all, really. There's an intelligence gives them them thoughts, but the devil knows. But our God's far beyond any film. He's the real thing.
Amen.
We are really going to be changed.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful?
Amen.
Caught up in the clouds, the angels. Clouds. And a message called the flashing red light was coming.
Uh-huh.
In there the prophet of God says, the angels of God will sweep down and pick you up. That's where they get the spaceships from. And they talk about the UFOs. You know how you hear people talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was caught up in the UFO. He's caught up with aliens. Caught up. You know, they make films about it and they talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Missing in action. Caught up. The prophet said in that message, the angels will sweep down and pick you up. And the book of Acts, you went up in the cloud. And it's coming in the cloud. And we're going to go up. I want you to know this morning. Don't you be worrying about this life either. People get fussed themselves and get so worked up over nothing. If the Lord comes tonight, what will it matter? Not matter if you owe the bank, or if you owe this or owe that, or if somebody's fussing and fighting, it will not make a difference. When the Lord comes, you're gone.
Amen.
I tell you, the Lord's coming for you.
Amen.
What do you think of that?
Amen.
Just like the story where the prince came and swept her away, the Lord's coming for His bride.
Amen.
The Lord of all glory.
Amen.
Let's come and bow our heads this morning. Well, every head's bowed and every eye closed. If you want prayer this morning, just lift your hand to the Lord. We'll pray for you while our heads are bowed. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless each one. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you that we have this great strength and comfort from your word. That you are coming again. Lord, in Revelation it says, even so come Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the Bride said, come.
Amen.
Lord, you've called us out. You're going to call us up. And you're going to call us away. Come out, come up, come in.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord Jesus. You are coming again. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word says how precious is the death of a saint in the eyes of the Lord. Father, I pray for the hands raised in this room this morning, that you'll give strength to each one. Answer their prayers. Meet their deepest needs, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, for those of us that have secretly prayed, and you know our hearts and you know our needs, for God, we're only flesh and blood. Oh, we need the fire of God, the power of God, the help of God. Well, we thank you, Lord, when you ask for it, you're fit to give it.
Amen.
We take your strength now.
Amen.
We receive it. And we thank you for it.
Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for answered prayer.
Amen.
Thank you for your mercy.
Amen.
and thank you for your grace. We thank you most of all for giving us the grace to come to Christ. And oh Lord, for the precious blood of the Lamb that cleansed us from all sin. Father, bless your people now. Give them their strength and your courage. Lord, we do remember all of our loved ones that's near and dear to us. Husbands and wives, sons and daughters, relatives and relations that have never bowed the knee. Lord, we ask you for mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. Oh God, speak to them and save them. And bring them in, we pray. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask these things. Father, strengthen Carl this day. Grant her your grace. Bless all the children and all the relatives. Bless her sister Rita as well for her faithfulness. Bless her, oh God. Give her strength and grant her grace. Lord, we pray especially for Sammy's dad this morning. Lord, will you strengthen him in his old age? Give him courage at this time. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. God bless each one. We'll see you tonight. The Lord willing, at 6 o'clock. God bless you.
Amen. That's under faithfulness. Sing up. Give us one of the hearts. And by and by, there's a long little story. Amen. Thank you.